And thanks, Carlos. I love his jokes. They're funny. They really are. I still like the quack one. That was my favorite. How's everybody doing tonight?
Yeah, rest.
Amen. As I meditated in God's word this week and the last week I was gonna speak, and Tuesday, I don't know what time it was, Pastor Joel called me. And I could, he said, hey, are you ready for tomorrow? And I was ready, but I felt like the Holy Spirit's saying to me, ask him to speak. But I just kind of ignored it. Sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit, amen, and we shouldn't be doing that. And then Wednesday, I got really busy with work, and I was going to be here a little bit late, and then I said, hey, do you want to speak tonight? He's like, yeah, I actually felt like telling you yesterday that, that I felt God saying to speak. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us, amen? And he'll speak to us. There's been times where my friends, like Pastor Shayla or Angel, they'll say something, and it's like what God is speaking to me. And as a church, we have to ask God to speak to us daily. And he's always speaking to us, but are we listening? Or are we listening and ignoring it like Jonah, you know? So it's just an encouraging word for you to listen up to what God is speaking, because he's speaking. He's speaking all right. And obviously we live in some crazy times right now, amen? Does anybody else agree with me? We're dealing with the pandemic. We're dealing with civil unrest. We're dealing with a lot of things. And as I speak to people on a daily basis, that's my son, if you could hear him. Be quiet, son. No, I'm just kidding. When I speak to people on a daily, I try to put away, hang up my emotions and just speak from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. And we live in a day and age where we're being lied to from every avenue. We're being lied to, through social media, through a lot of things. And it's like sometimes, have you asked yourself, like, who's telling me the truth? Who do I believe? Let me remind you, church, that God will never lie to us. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. So in these hard times, in these trying times, for the church and for us as individuals and as family, we really have to stand on the truth. We have to stand. Can you take them outside, please? Thank you. We have to stand on the truth. And my son's probably going to preach one day as well. And thank God for him. He's a yeller now. Aaron's going to be one next week. And... 2 weeks, well, a week for me. Time is irrelevant right now. It was December, like just yesterday, right? And so time flies when you're having fun. And so yeah, I was saying, just remember in these times, if you're confused, if you feel fear, it's all normal to feel those things because we're human. But remember that we have to stand on God's truth. And God's truth is our final authority. God's truth is what we need to stand on. People want to feel like they kind of press you in a corner, like you have to choose a side right now, right? Just choose, you're always going to be safe on Jesus' side. And whatever God is convicting you to do, if he wants you to change the way you think, do it. But do what he says, amen? Today I want to speak on something that God has been speaking to me, and this is, I always like to share what God is speaking to me, because I know if I'm dealing with it, then probably other people are dealing with it too. And it's just having a good attitude. Everybody say a good attitude. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and you're going to see different attitudes. And these are scriptures that are obviously found in the Word. And I want to go quickly to John chapter 5, verse, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. We're going to see this guy's attitude. And again, we live in a time where, like, ungratefulness is ruling our nation right now. We live in a blessed nation. Let me repeat that. We live in a blessed nation. There's other nations, and if you watch the news, not the news here, but news in other countries, people are really being oppressed. You and I have the ability to speak our mind, to speak our heart, to practice loving Jesus in public and not be persecuted by it. And sometimes we forget we have it so good, church. We have it so good. And the church is not called to complain. Really, we're called to bless. We're called to give thanks. And this afternoon, I just want to remind you, let's be thankful for what we have. They say that we don't appreciate health until we get hit with sickness. And if you're healthy right now, man, you should be thanking God for your health. If you have a job, man, you should be thanking God for your job. But sometimes when God will bless us and we forget really fast of where we came from. And this is what I really just want to encourage the church tonight, to remember where God has brought you from and having an attitude of gratitude. Amen. It says that after this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. Every time I say Jerusalem, I think of Pastor Drew because he says his name is Drew, and he'll say Jerusalem, and I always laugh. Pastor Drew has real good dad jokes, too, and he probably competes with you, brother. So go to verse 2. Verse 2 says this. It says that now they're in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool. Everybody say a pool. Anybody has a pool at their house? No? All right, I'm going to come over your house and your house. Which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, the Bible says that for an angel went down and at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, everybody say first, after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So check this out. Just imagine we're all at, we'll say Pastor Shayla's house because they have a nice pool. And all the sick people would come to Pastor Shayla's house and just hang out outside the pool. And then when this movement of the water happened, then just imagine a bunch of people diving into the water. Imagine how murky that water was. I mean, just imagine all the sick people from all over the places, that they would come and sit down and just, you know, and then I like to use my imagination. Anyone else? Sometimes it's good to use your imagination because you remember when you were a child, right? But think of it like people dive in and then everybody's checking each other. Hey, check me, bro. Check me. You know, is it? Nah, man, you're still bad, you know? But it was one person who probably came out shouting, screaming, crying. Man, I could hear now, or I could see now, or you know, I could move my left hand now, or whatever it was. It was something supernatural. And it says, now a certain man that was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in the condition that he was in a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? If Jesus came to your house today and asked you, do you want to be made well today? Do you want me to answer that prayer? What would you say? I'd say, yeah. Man, my petition of $10 million so I won't have to work anymore. Bring them, Lord, you know. Can you go back to the other verse, brother? Oh, do you want to be made well? Verse 7 says this. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was a Sabbath. Now, I want to focus on this. This says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, watch this. Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who had been healed did not know who it was. This shocks me. This tells me something about this person. Jesus heals him, and this guy doesn't even have the gratitude or just to say, who are you? What is your name, sir? Thank you. Nothing. He probably just got his bed and ran off, right? If I was sick for 38 years and some random person came and healed me, I would want to know who this person is. God has blessed many of us. And we can't even stop and say, Lord, what can I do for you? Can I follow you? The Bible talks about many times where people encountered Jesus and they said, you know what, Jesus, we want to follow you. Yes or no? But this guy doesn't even, he's just like so focused on his healing that he forgot who was the person who healed him. It says he did not know, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. And what did he say to him? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. When I was reading this week, I actually heard my dad speak on this a little bit. He touched on this on Sunday. God, just remember where God has pulled you out from. I remember where God has pulled me out from, and sometimes I cry. Sometimes I get on my face and I say, Lord, I wasn't worthy of your love. I wasn't worthy of your grace. I wasn't worthy of your mercy, yet you had mercy upon my life. Although I did grow up in church like many of you, my body was here, but my heart was somewhere else. Church, it's time for us to return to God and really come with a contrite heart and say, Lord, what can I do for you? This guy had a bad attitude, and Jesus calls him out on it and says, hey, man, go and sin no more. Watch this other scripture right here. We're going to go to Matthew. And again, we're talking about not being grateful. It says that when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse, what, than the first. This was what Jesus was telling this guy. Hey, go and sin no more. The Bible talks about when God delivers someone, when God delivered you and me, and God knows what I was delivered from, right? Because there's sometimes that people pray for you and you don't even know, like, have you ever felt oppressed before? Have you ever been in bed and you feel just like this heaviness and you're like, what the heck is this? This is not God for sure. Anybody? My dad used to come into my room and just bring the anointing, the oil, and rub it all over the place. Amen? And that's, you know, people laugh at that, but that's old school. I feel like we need to go back to that. When I bought my first brand new car, guess what my dad did? He got the oil and he anointed my car. There's something powerful about anointing things and praying for things. So when you first come to Jesus and you have an encounter with Jesus, man, God delivers you from all these crazy generational curses and all these crazy things. But when we go back to where Jesus delivered us from, the Bible says, go back just to verse 43 one more time. The Bible says this, that when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest. See, the enemy is looking for a dry place. He loves dry places. So when you're not in the Word, when you're not in prayer, your spirit is dry. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking for a place to rest. So I want to encourage you this week to get close to God. Get in your Word. Nourish your spirit. So when the enemy comes, he'll say, man, not in this place. This is not a dry place. This is a place, you know, flowing with milk and honey of the Spirit of God.
Now keep going, 44. And it says this, then he says, this is the enemy. This is, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Verse 45, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Isn't that kind of like a like kind of scary, right? And then enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Guys, we're living in a wicked generation. And that's what we see, man. People are their love is growing cold. They're lovers of themselves. And the enemy is loving this time. Why? Because he takes off and he comes back with more. And we see the increase in violence, increase in hatred in our nation. Man, we need to stand up as a church, and we need to pray that God has mercy on us, amen? But remember, it all starts with our attitude of ingratitude, of not having gratitude. If we just remember every day what God has done for us, trust me, man, we'd be pressing in so much more to Jesus, amen? Look at this. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. It says, now it happened. This is another example of people not being grateful. It happened that as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him how many men? 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar. Then they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, just imagine this. Sometimes I think, man, these guys were so ungrateful. But then I think of myself. What if I was cast out of my home because I was a leper? And Jesus healed me. The first thing I would want to do in my carnality, can I be real, please? I would run home and say hi to my kids, right? I would go run and hold, say hi to my wife. I would run to church and say, hey, guys, I'm back. I'm clean. But see, we can't forget who's the one who healed us. Who's the one that gave us that opportunity to go back with our families, to go back with our children. God has restored so much of my life to me. Even though I made bad mistakes, God restored all of those bad mistakes. Even making bad decisions, even as a Christian, God still restored my time, my relationships, my heart. But one man, it says that one man, he saw that he was healed, and he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Church, it's time to look back and to see our blesser. The only person who has not let us down, because God is a person, and he loves us, and he loves you. Let's stop being so ungrateful, church. I know that sounds harsh, but the Bible says that the one that God loves, he corrects. And I think in these trying times, we need to be grateful for, the Bible says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Remember, when Jesus died, he tore the veil from top to bottom, giving us direct access to his presence. You don't have to wait to enter his gates at church. You could enter into his presence at your house and say, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Let's go to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had sat her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing Jesus, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but that woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and what? And sin no more." I felt this go and sin no more so strongly this week. I'm talking about sometimes a church in America, our world church, like our churches in Mexico, we have become so like, we've compromised the truth to please our own desires. And God is just telling us, church, let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's see where God pulls us out from and not go back saying, "Well, you know what? Jesus will forgive me. He understands." I know this is different today, but I really want to just encourage the church, encourage ourselves. Let's keep each other accountable. Let's not live like a little leaven will mess up the whole thing. And once we open one little door, guys, trust me, the enemy's ready to just slide right in and bring his seven homeboys and homegirls. We can't be doing that anymore. We're living in crazy times, and the world needs to see a church that does not compromise. People are watching us. Yes or no? I've been at work, and this is me exposing my heart. I've been at work, and people are kind of laughing, and I'll say something thinking that it's funny, and then I've had people say, "Man, aren't you Christian?" And it wasn't even like a dirty joke or anything. But people are watching. Yeah. Hey, aren't you? Trust me, people are waiting for you to slip up so they could point the finger and say, "That's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't like going to those places because of people like you." Yeah. Has anyone ever told you that? Yeah. Your family, even your family? God loves us. God doesn't accuse us, but what does he tell us? Go and what? Sin no more. I have one last scripture, and then I just want to share my heart. First John 3, chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Whoever abides in Jesus, in him, does what? Does not sin. Do you abide in God? This is a great test for us. Do you abide in Jesus? Does not sin. Whoever sins has never seen him nor known him. Is that crazy? This is, when I read this, it's really convicting to me, because I'm like, wait, let me go back 10 steps. Do I really know God? And I ask myself that. And then the Holy Spirit will say, "Well, you know me, but sometimes you don't follow what I ask you to do." Am I the only one that feels that way sometimes? Okay, go to the next scripture. Little children, God calls us little children. He loves us. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is what? Is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. He who sins, this is going to sound harsh, but I'm not saying it. Remember, it's the word of God telling us tonight. He who sins is of the devil. Wow. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. This is an awesome scripture. This is a good test for us. I was talking to a friend last Thursday, And we were talking about what's happening all over the world. And he was asking me what I thought. And I said, well, I could be a little bit biased because of what I do for work. But at the end of the day, it's not what I do for work that defines me. It's Jesus what defines me. And as we're talking, I said, man, if we could only love each other like Jesus loves us. The Bible says, love God, right, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. It says, and then what's your second commandment? Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Do you love yourself? I love myself. Not to the point where I'm in the mirror, I'm like, man, I love myself. Oh, I look so good. Oh, yeah, Angel and Joel think they got me with this body competition, but just give me 3 weeks. It's about loving yourself like Jesus loved you, right? Like, you have to love yourself to love others. I said, if we could just love each other like Jesus loves the church, or like he says, love our neighbor as ourselves, man, this world would be a completely different place. But we want others to model what we should be. We look at other people like, well, they're not doing it, so I'm not going to do it. Why are they not doing it? Listen, don't worry about them. Worry about you. I can only worry about me. I need to forgive others like God forgave me. I need to love others like Jesus loved me. I have to redeem others like Jesus redeemed me. There's times that has anyone ever hurt you? People hurt us all the time. Church, it's time to remember, just like these scriptures that I read. It's time to remember what Jesus did for us. It's time for us to go back to Jesus and say, Lord, I am grateful that you saved me. And just like you saved me, just like you forgave me, I have to do that for other people. Not save people, only Jesus can save people. But forgive people, love people. Amen? This morning, I got to work and we got a call of two little girls that had been killed. A 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I asked my supervisors that I didn't want to go into the house. I didn't want to see them. And they're like, that's fine, we understand. I have little kids myself. But what is it that drives a man to do something like that? I'll tell you this much, it's not God. What is it that drives people to do really bad things? It's not God. It's the sin in us. And as a church of Christ, we have to constantly remind ourselves of what God did for us on that cross. As he was crucified there, what did he say? In his pain and in his agony, he says, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes we have to take that same stance as Jesus. Remember what he did. Just like this one leper went back and was grateful and praised God. Just as this woman was redeemed. I know Shayla preached this months back. That woman, guys, is you and me. That adulterous woman could have been you and it could have been me. And Jesus says, I don't accuse you. But he does ask us for one thing. What does he say? Go and sin no more. God is calling the church to sanctify itself. God is looking for a church that he's going to find without a wrinkle or a stain. And it's time now, church, to just love people like Jesus loves us. And as we drove back and we were talking about this thing this morning, I mean, I still can't, it doesn't make sense. But a lot of things don't make sense. And in these times, I'm telling you, these times I've had friends call me from all over the nation asking me for my opinion. And I tell them, listen, my opinion is probably going to make you angry. My opinion is probably going to make you happy. At the end of the day, the only good opinion that I could give you is what the Word of God says. And I think as a church, don't compromise. While people are going to be like, man, you spiritualize everything, just do it with love. Yeah. Love on people. And tell them the truth. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Yeah. And he's coming back for a holy church that he's going to be able to say, man, look, this is my beautiful bride right here. And he's going to present us to his Father and say, here's my girl right here. Amen. You want to play a little bit? I know it was short today. Honestly, like, I just wanted to speak from the heart, and I wanted to share those scriptures with you. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's not forget where God pulled us out from. Let's not forget what God forgave us from. And it'll be a lot easier to forgive other people. It'll be a lot easier to love other people. Amen? I want you to bow your heads at home and close your eyes. Have you been walking in unforgiveness? This message was for you. Have you been walking hating others or disliking others based on their personality or the color of their skin? People have been talking about that. All right, let's throw that out there. Let's break that cycle. Have you been walking around looking at other people and belittling people because of their religion, because they're not Christian, and you feel maybe self-righteous? Jesus did not save people because of how self-righteous he was. He saved people because of people could see a genuine love that came from him. If that needs to be you and you need a change of heart today, man, let's get before God's throne and ask God for forgiveness. Have you been the other 9 lepers that left and didn't come back and give thanks to God? Have you been like this first guy that we spoke about at the Pool of Bethesda, where God spoke to you, he healed you, he touched you, but you just walked away not even saying, like, who is this man? What's your name? What can I do for you, Lord? Can I serve you? Church, we need to be a church that loves. We need to be a church that forgives. We need to be a church that follows the truth and speaks the truth. There was times, guys, that Jesus said things and people said, man, we can't follow this guy. This guy's out of his mind. Even his disciples. But we have to be like the disciple who said, Lord, where else can I go? You're the only one who has the truth. You are the only one that has the words of life. This is not the time to go home to our families without coming back to be grateful for what God has done for us. This is a time, church, where we have to come back to God and just get on our knees and praise God for what he's done. If that's you, I just want you to, even at home, I want you to be bold in front of your family. And I want you to raise your hand at home. And I'm raising your hand with you tonight. If God is speaking to you through this word tonight, I want you to raise your hand. You that are at your house, I see you. I don't see you, but, you know, I see you. And God is calling you. Be grateful. Don't be a complainer. Don't murmur. But bless. The Bible says, it was said that it was done like this, but God says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who persecute you. If they take your shirt, give them your jacket too. If they slap you, man, turn the other cheek and let them slap you again. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We want to be a grateful people. We want to be a people that do not forget where you pulled us out from. I thank you right now for everyone who's listening at home. We know this world, Lord, is filled with hatred. We know this world is filled with violence. We know people's hearts are growing cold, but right now, Holy Spirit, minister to us and minister to your church. Minister to those who are in pain. Minister to those who are walking in unforgiveness. Minister to those who are going through a season of anxiety. Minister to those who are going through a season of depression. And right now, Lord, we surrender our pain. We surrender our unforgiveness. We surrender everything that is going on in our minds, confusion. We surrender fear. We put it at your feet. Yes, Jesus, speak to us, Lord. See, the awesome thing about Jesus is that he doesn't count your sins. He doesn't repay us according to our works. God says that he gives grace to the humble. Right now, many of you feel like the lepers who went home. And you're probably sitting right now, just think of it, just go there with me and use your imagination. You walked away from Jesus after he healed you, after he touched you. You went home and you're enjoying a clean life with your family, with your friends. But God is saying this tonight to you. He's the place that you met him, the place where he healed you. He's still there waiting for you. Because he's long-suffering, God is saying. And all he wants you to do is to get off that couch and walk back to that place where you met Jesus. Walk to that place where he touched you. Walk to that place where he healed you. God is patient. That's one of his attributes. I want you to close your eyes and just picture yourself walking back to Jesus right now. If it was 20 miles, we're going to cut it short. We're going to just walk about 10 feet, okay? And I just want you to see Jesus waiting there as your father, just like that prodigal son who was ungrateful. And although the father blessed the son, he left and he spent that money. But when he recognized and he humbled himself, he walked back and he just imagine this. As you walked back, maybe kicking yourself in the butt, saying, man, why did I do this? Jesus isn't even thinking about what you did. He's just running towards you right now. And he's holding you and he's telling you that it's going to be all right. Father, we thank you for Jesus reconciled us with you, Lord. We thank you. Man, in the spirit, I see a lot of hearts being healed tonight because you're letting go of hurts that happened years and years ago, and you're finally surrendering to Jesus right now. God is healing many hearts at home right now. God is healing many minds at home right now. God is restoring marriages right now. God is restoring relationships between you and your kids. And remember, as you commit your life to Jesus and you say, Lord, I want to follow you, know that the enemy will be upset and he's going to try to come and attack. But you just rebuke the enemy and say, you know what? The blood of Jesus is over this home. The blood of Jesus is over this house. Remember, we're talking about anointing. Anoint your house with oil. Make it all oily and smelly. And say, this is no place for you, saying, this is my house. This is God's house. Father, we thank you for tonight's word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, that convicts, that loves, that exhorts, Lord. And it leads us to greener pastures.